Did you miss the command to be radio's best friend? Well, you're not too late. Go to cjsffundrive.ca or text DONATE to 778-782-2573 now to make your donation to Fund Drive 2024.
Listeners, this is an archive episode from June 2019. Enjoy!
From coast to coast to coast, you are listening to Terra Informa. Welcome back. Hello, I'm Charlotte Thomason, and we have a special episode for you this week. I'd like to begin this episode by acknowledging that Terra Informa is a production of CJSR 88.5 FM, located here in Edmonton, Alberta, on Treaty 6, the historic and present territory of Cree, Métis, Blackfoot, Dene, and many other First Peoples who continue to live and gather here, and who continue to influence the stories we make and our understanding of the land around us. The story this week is all about queerness and biking. And yes, those two things can go together. As you may already know, the month of June in Edmonton is Bike Month, which is all about encouraging folks to get out there and ride. It is also Pride Month, instituted to commemorate the Stonewall Riots in 1969 that played a large role in queer activism. Both of these things, cycling and being queer, are personal to me, and when my sister called me up to tell me about an organization that combined these two things, I knew I had to share their story. The organization SNACS creates a networking and welcoming space for LGBTQIA2S+ people who want to cycle and have fun. Located in Victoria, BC, SNACS works to mobilize community and to connect people to the outdoors. I was able to chat with Mackenzie Albright, a passionate human and a founder of the organization. We swapped cycling stories and chatted about businesses and queer baiting, the binary of the outdoor community, and how SNACS is pushing boundaries. Listen up for that story.
My name is Mackenzie Albright, and my pronouns are they, them, and or he. So I'm one of the couple of people, Lauren M. and I, started SNACS, which is an LGBTQTI+ group of people that basically uses cycling as a way to bring people together to share skills and knowledge and just get people together out enjoying the outdoors.
My first question is kind of twofold. What brought you into the biking community?
Sure.
And then the second part of it is what made you kind of want to tackle the lack of representation of queer people within that community?
Yeah, so the first part of the question, what kind of got me into cycling? Honestly, ever since I was a wee tot, I've been cruising around on a bike. I grew up on a farm. Basically, since I was able to be upright, I started riding trikes and bikes. And then as a teenager, met a group of pals off the internet, and we would go on big bicycle road trips, like riding BMX bikes. So I saw a lot of the U.S. through doing road trips and stuff and going to skate parks and meeting people that way. And then basically just once I started university and going to grad school and stuff, I just couldn't really risk injury, and or my body was just not up to that sort of riding anymore. So then I just got interested in big bikes, and I always did it just for fun. I've never been much of You know, I would never consider myself like a, you know, a commuter or a roadie. And I just always liked the activity of joining up with my friends and, you know, sharing experiences with them. But as I got older, I kind of found that that was just harder and harder to do, especially with like work schedules and being out of university and just like working. And you see a lot of like cycling clubs. It's like a bunch of, you know, spandex dudes, or then sometimes you have like the other end of the spectrum, then all of a sudden there will be like, you know, women's rides. So there's just like this really big binary within like groups of cycling clubs and stuff like that. And also, I'm just not a competitive person. Like, I have no interest in like using Strava or being as super fast or turboing around or climbing up the mountain as fast as I can. Like, I just want to ride around and like enjoy things. And I was always interested in like bike touring and camping, but like going out for like weeks on, you know, on end, just having a job that allows that is very, very difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
So I learned about this thing through Rivendell Bikes called the sub 24 hour overnighter, which is this very short bike trip where you basically just like head out after work, go set up camp, stay overnight, head back early the next morning. So it's super easy to do on weekends. I don't have any knowledge about camping or outdoorsing. And my friend Joanna moved to Victoria from Edmonton, and she's just like a super turbo, like hiker, biker, camper. She had just gotten back on like a couple week trip in Italy, and she was just like, "You and me are going bike camping." And I was just like, "Okay, whatever." And it was like, you know, Victoria in the winter, I think it was like January or February when we started. So it was like kind of the off season, and it was just like super rainy and like miserable, but we just sort of like bonded through the misery of the Victoria rainstorms, just biking around, setting up camp. And basically from that point on, I was hooked. But then Joanna ended up getting a job in Edmonton, moving back to Edmonton. And then, I just like basically was like left again with like no crew of people. And then I found Lauren and M through mutual friend, because I heard that they were super into bikes. And then we just kind of got chatting, and just like because of my, you know, with Joanna gone, I again was kind of left without any sort of knowledge of camping and camping supplies. And so, you know, Lauren was like super knowledgeable about gear and that sort of thing. And Em was super, just like super turbo, just like shooting from the hip sort of person. So we just kind of all like hyped each other up, and we were like, you know what, I think that we could bring people together who have like a different outlook and goals, and bikes are a good way of doing that.
Very cool. Yeah. So I guess how exactly does Snacks carve out these spaces in a traditionally heteronormative scene like cycling?
Yeah, well, you know, like for me, because like as a non-binary individual, but as like a very cis-presenting individual, you know, I can just like walk into a bike shop, you know, and just easily like navigate or engage and be treated very differently by a bike shop. And I can like test the feel and vibes out of like a shop, for example. Over that time, it's like I established relationships with like the bike shop. So like, you know, for me, using my privilege to, you know, access those groups, and I can kind of discern which ones are gonna like are super queer friendly and will respect people's pronouns and identities and treat people like thoughtfully and respectfully, and which shops won't. I wanted to just make my resources accessible to like a larger audience of people, to be like, hey, you need your bike worked on, you know what, like they're just gonna like treat you super well and go here for this or there for that. And I think like similarly for like Lauren and Em, like the more that we started like doing this, we just saw like more and more of like a need and desire. And as you kind of like make those sort of amenities like available to all folks, it just like brings more and more people in, and they get more and more psyched on it. Cycling as a sport is a very you know, sport within like the binary and presented as like a more aggressive turbo activity. But, you know, we just want to like go out there and go on like bird watching rides and go eat a snack on the top of a, like a nice view. Yeah, I just think that we wanted to start creating a space where people could get set up, share information, share knowledge, and things like that.
Yeah. Do you think there is a disconnect between queer people and the outdoors, or do you think that has more to do with access to those spaces?
You know, I think that, like, queer people actually, I think they have a different sort of access to the outdoors. I believe that the way that society structures and presents the outdoors, the way that it uses ecology, is set up within the binary. So, for example, if you go to, like, if you go to a park, you know, and like Victoria's filled with those, like that's like set up to be like a consumer space. You like spend your time, you dominate it, you know, and then you're done with your weekend. You come back to your 9 to 5. So I think that the way that the society structures what's natural and unnatural and how we behave in those spaces is really structured within like capitalism and the patriarchy and dualism. But I think that like the way queer people engage with the environment is much different than that. So I think that queer people always exist and spend a lot of time within those spaces, but it's not about dominating those spaces. It's about like existing with those spaces and understanding those spaces. And so I think by, you know, trying to use cycling and knowledge sharing and all of that stuff to kind of bring people together, it kind of allows a bit more assertion of ourselves within these spaces that are kind of like meant to be like cut out as like these like dualistic binary spaces.
I think there's like a lot to be said about not just cycling, general recreation in the outdoors, like being very, falling within the binary, and it's very much like a male-dominated field.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I think the ability to, reclaim that space as, like, our own space that we exist in and have always existed in, but to now be vocal about it and be like, hey, we're organizing, we're getting together, we're building a community within this space that has traditionally rejected us. And I think that is, like, so incredible and so, like, vital and important.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that visibility, like, even for myself, you know, it's like I grew up in rural Minnesota. And, like, as, you know, a young queer kid, who I love, like, muscle cars and car racing. And I love being outdoors and animals and stuff like that. And, like, you know, it's like you don't really, like, make those associations of, like, you know, stuff like automotive culture. It has such, like, a masculine assertion to it. But then it's like, you know, there's all these amazing Instagrams that are out there that are just like, you know what, like there's so many like queer people who love like car culture and auto racing or camping or you know, just they live and thrive in rural communities where, you know, you kind of have this association of more like urban. And so I think that things like Instagram are just such a great platform to kind of be a bit more subversive and, just bringing these sort of communities to light a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. Because I guess the queer communities that are usually elevated or have been, like, elevated in, like, recent times have often been, like, you have, like, the stereotypical gay man who, like, loves the city and dresses really well, and, you know, like, there's so many stereotypes, but queer people are everywhere.
It's true, yeah.
And I think, yeah, just being able for not only, like, companies, I guess, to recognize that, but for, like, individuals, like, in a community to be able to recognize that as well.
Yeah, and I feel like so much of that like it's just like based off of like those ideas of like dualities and dualisms and natural and unnatural and the way that we present and perceive ourselves. Like it's easier for like society to like imagine, you know, the stereotypical like gay man off of like every like early 2000s sitcom. But the thing is, yeah, like we all look so many different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And like social media is just like so fantastic for that.
Yeah, for sure. Further talking about inclusivity and about MEC, Mountain Equipment Co-op, they signed the Diversify Outdoors Pledge in October of 2018 and made some statements talking about how they had predominantly centered like white people and were now trying to like incorporate actual people of color in their advertisements. But reading the pledge, it also includes the queer community, so the LGBTQIA plus community. So what do you think that means kind of in terms of like moving forward as a entire like collective, as a society?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's so interesting because I mean, it's so similar to like greenwashing, right? Where it's, there's just like, I feel like it's like the hot thing and it's just like, also it's just like kind of queer baiting, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's something within the ethics of that, that it's just like, obviously you're kind of like, people who are like super into camping are probably more like liberally minded. And so it's just like, whenever I go into MEC, it's like, I don't like feel like they're necessarily like walking the walk. On the other side of it too, it's like, I mean, just for myself, it's like, even when I go to a bike shop, it's like, I will go to a bike shop any day of the week before I go, like, go to the MEC. Like, MEC is, like, my last possible place I will go. You know, I'd much rather, when I know there's, like, a good shop in town or a co-op, or, you know, it's like, I want to support those smaller organizations. And even in terms of, like, camping gear, just, like, what's available locally. And, again, like I said, it's, like, that's why, you know, for myself, it's, like, a person with, like, passing privilege and able to like go into those spaces and kind of like scope things out. It's like, there's some really great bike shops in Victoria that have been like so supportive and have queer people like working there and are just like so respectful and you just like never talk down to you. And it's like, I would much rather, you know, pay, you know, an extra couple bucks for an item there, or like pay like a mechanic who's, you know, a lifelong mechanic there.
I always find it so challenging because I want businesses to support the queer community.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that, yeah, you see so much queer baiting, but that money is just going to the business.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's so much rainbow capitalism and those kind of things. So it's, I find that super challenging in terms of like wanting businesses to support the queer community.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, wanting them to, like, actually support the queer community.
Yeah, yeah, instead of just, like, making, like, rainbow stickers.
The idea of Snacks being able to kind of, like, vet those businesses is, I think, really important. Because sometimes you don't have time to go into a space and, like, put yourself at risk to figure out, like, if they're going to support you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, the thing is, too, is, like, when it started, it's, like, I mean, I'm, like, a hobby bike mechanic, and I love, like, building and working on bikes. But, you know, that's fine when you're, like, helping a couple people, like, with some tune-ups or something. But then it's just, like, you know, with the Snacks, you know, participants growing and just, like, the number of people coming in, it's, like, I mean, I just totally wasn't able just to, like, keep working on or showing people how to, like, work on their bikes, which would be, like, still, you know, we'll do like occasional like workshops or like how to's or whatever and set up as need be. But yeah, just like it just gets to the point where it's like we need to be able to send people to a space that we know that they're going to be treated well. And it's really just not that hard for businesses to do that. And I think that, you know, if you look at the bicycle industry, it's struggling, you know, and bike shops are struggling, they're closing left and right. And what it's like coming down to is like customer service. And like when you walk into a shop and you get talked down to or treated rudely or just trying to be upsold, you know, on your bicycle, you know, it's just, it it's not doing them any good as a business. So it's like when you do have these shops that are actually like open-minded and thoughtful and kind, it's just like, you know, it's like there's a whole, you know, bunch of people who like need access to this thing. So like, good on you for like just being decent humans and running a decent business. Cause you know, the business world for, I think, things like outdoor shops and bike shops are just like really changing.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned kind of from the birth of snacks to what it is now, there has been a demand for these kind of spaces. What impact do you think the collective is having on the community?
We're still like working a lot within like trying to figure out exactly what snacks is and like what it means to people. And, you know, part of this is like I do have to like send some shout out to like the WTF people, the Women Trans Femme Explorers. They kind of started this like Instagram phenomenon of just like women, trans and femme people getting together and getting them out adventure cycling and stuff, which I have a lot of like respect for and really excited about what they're doing. We're in the process of making a website now, but we'd like to be able to make it as like a platform so that people can like adopt it and kind of create their own crews and groups like outside of like this specific community. You know, everyone has like their own interests and their own reasons for cycling. You know, like I was saying earlier, there's like somebody who's really into bird watching, so they just like led a ride where they took everyone to their spots and would just, you know, basically show people like all the birds that were like living in those areas. And you know, it's like that's so different than any other, like, you know, when you see these other sort of like cycling groups or like heteronormative sort of like spaces, it's like, I don't know, we just want to, you know, keep it as malleable and like open as possible. And then like through that, it's just like you keep like bringing in more and more people with like more ideas. So then we just try to like, you know, through our Instagram and Facebook and whatever, just try to facilitate like if somebody has an idea for a ride or a get together.
Have you noticed people like coming to you folks that haven't been avid cyclers before, yeah, or like new to cycling?
I would say a good portion of people are, I would say like 80% of the people that are participating in snack rides are new or very leisurely sort of riders. Definitely most people have never been bike camping before. This coming Saturday we're doing like a big group ride out to a park, and we're going to set up camp. And I think about 20 people are participating in that. Most of them, a big chunk of them, are first timers.
Nice. Okay. That's really cool. Yeah. My sister told me about that trip. She was like, you should come to Victoria and go on this trip.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really great, honestly. And I mean, that's like the cool thing about it is like you can have these like really nice experiences out in nature, and it's like you can do it in under, you know, 24 hours. Like it doesn't have to be, you don't need a week to like, you know, ride somewhere, like a month. It can be just like this little nice thing and still just like really get out there and enjoy it. When you're going, you know, 15 kilometers an hour on a bike, you like look in the forest, it's like you see so much more and just experience the space so much more. And yeah, so it's just like a really nice way of encountering things.
Yeah, definitely. I can relate to that. The other day I was biking and I saw a flying squirrel.
Amazing.
Yeah, definitely not something I would have seen in a vehicle.
It's true, absolutely not. Yeah, and like I recently went to Utah and it was just like biking, just stumbled across like so much amazing things that, you know, it's like when you're in a state park or a national park, it's like they put signs around stuff to try to direct people. Like they're literally directing people to sites in order for like the least environmental impact. So it's like, yeah, they try to just like get people there and get people out. But it's like when you're on a bike, it's like, you know, they might have like, for example, I was just like looking at some petroglyphs and I was just like biking down the road. And then just peeking through some bushes, I found like a huge other section of like wall that was also like not that far off. But it's like, obviously they didn't want, you know, that amount of traffic because it was much lower and much easier for people to like, you know, mess with or vandalize.
Yeah, biking makes you kind of slow down and I find it mindful. I don't know, for me at least, I think it really allows me to focus on like the things going on around me and what I'm hearing. What advice do you have for somebody in the queer community that wants to try out cycling, but maybe like isn't sure where to start?
I mean, the thing about it is like, I just say like you can make pretty much any bike work within reason. You know, just anything that like when you're on it and you're riding it, and if it's like bringing you joy, just go for it. And then, you know, if it just start out, like any sort of riding is like a good place to start. And then if you're interested in, you know, doing stuff like overnight trips or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, honestly, like it really took my friend Joanna to just like, you know, light that fire under my butt and be like, we're going to do this. And then it's like, I realized even if it's like you go on an overnight trip, you're miserable just for one night. So if you forget something or, you know, you don't have something, as long as you have, you know, water, it's like 24 hours, you know, as long as you're being somewhat like mindful of the space in your body, like everything's going to be fine. And you're always a cell phone call away. So it's really just, you know, you just got to like just give it a go. That's like my main advice for people is just, you know, there's definitely, you see a lot of people on Instagram and you see a lot of, you know, these sites that try to like set you up with like, you think that you need like this super fancy touring bike or you think that you need like this special gear. But you don't. And I think that there's a lot of people with a lot of like knowledge and information out there. So just like, yeah, you know, hopefully with even like snacks, you know, if like people want to like send us a DM, if they have any questions about gear or bikes, like they can always like send us a DM or and just like making this more accessible. But yeah, just got to do it.
Fair enough. I think that's a good piece of advice. That was yours truly, interviewing Mackenzie Albright, cyclist extraordinaire and founder of Snacks, the slow, nice, and queer cyclo-adventure squad based in Victoria, BC. If you want to find out more about Snacks, hit them up on Instagram, at Snacks. That's S-N-A-Q-C-S. Or check them out on Facebook, at Snacks. In the coming months, also keep an eye out for their new website. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this week. If you have any questions or comments about the show, send us an email to tara@cjsr.com or tweet us at Tara Informa. You can also check out all of our episodes and news on our Facebook, Tara Informa, or check out our website, tarainforma.ca. Terra Informa is entirely volunteer-run. I'd like to shout out our volunteers that helped this week. Dylan Hall, Sophia Osborne, and Hannah Cunningham. I've been your host, Charlotte Thomason. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you'll catch us next week, right here on Terra Informa.
You're like some people that like talking on their phone about their like number orders.